It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, last week we had fishing guide friend of mine, Andy Cochran, up in Gunnison, Colorado. We were talking about fishing on the Blue Mesa right now, catching, the lake trout, the eater-sized lake trout and the kokanee and the other trout. But I promised that we would get Andy back and talk about the kokanee salmon, and that's what we're going to do. Andy, thank you for being with us again, sir.
Glad to be back. Thank you for having me, Luke.
Yep. Well, let me start this off, and if I get anything incorrect, you let me know. But the kokanee salmon, folks, they're hatched at the Roaring Judy Fish Hatchery. Now, this is around Gunnison, in that area, by the thousands at the Roaring Judy Fish Hatchery. Now, that's the East River, I do believe, Andy, right?
Correct.
Uh-huh. So they make their way down to the East River to where the Taylor comes in and it forms the Gunnison. They make their way down the Gunnison into Blue Mesa. And so they're stocked fish. And about every 4 years, Andy, those salmon, like salmon anywhere, they make their run, don't they?
It is a fascinating spectacle. A kokanee salmon is a landlocked freshwater sockeye.
Yes,
so
sir.
They do the same thing those big reds do up in Alaska. They spend their life in open water, eating plankton, getting big and feisty. And when they turn about 4 years old, they return to the place where they were born, all by instinct, magnetics or scent or whatever it is that mm-hmm. drives them. And this is one of the biggest kokanee runs in the whole western U.S. that runs out of this lake. They run about 24 miles from the lake up to the hatchery you talked about, where they're gathered up and spawned out. The fry are raised up in that hatchery all winter long, and then they kick them right loose in the river there, and they swim down the river in the lake and do it all over again. Every year they put in 3.5 million fry into the river right there. So it's a pretty big deal.
It is. I remember fishing, and there were some ponds right below the Roaring Judy Fish Hatchery, not far from Almont. I call it Almont. I think you folks call it Almont. But Three Rivers Resort right there. There's some ponds that you can fish in, or they used to be.
Yeah, so these fish will run up the Gunnison River through town,
mm-hmm.
and then in the little town of Almont,
yep.
They call it Three Rivers because it's the east, the Taylor, form the Gunnison. So those fish have to take a left and go up the East River to that hatchery, and then they actually leave the river through some canals that lead up to those little ponds that are below the hatchery system there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then as the time's right, the parks and wildlife guys will kind of herd them up into the raceways and start there. But, yeah, you can fish in those ponds year-round except for the month of September and October when they're doing their kokanee stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, so that all of our listeners that have never been up there, I guarantee you so many people are saying, I'd love to go to Alaska and fish the Kenai or something. Folks, these are salmon. They're not giants. But a big one nowadays, a big kokanee, Andy, would weigh what? I know how good eating they are. I'm just, with 3 pounds, is that, that would be a big one?
That's a very average size fourth-year
yeah.
fish.
Okay.
Some of the bigger males will push 4 pounds, but mm-hmm. 3 pounds is a pretty good average, right about 20 inches.
And I tell you, I love to brine those with salt and brown sugar, brine them for a few hours and put them on a smoker. And I've even actually, Andy, I've actually filleted them. You don't have to fillet them, but I did. That's the way I did it. Fillet them and brine them. And then low cold smoke them, and then put them in jars, pressure can them for 100
yep.
minutes under pressure, And you open a jar of that those kokanee up 6 months later out on a fishing trip with some crackers or whatever. I mean, that's as good as fish gets. They are a tasty fish, aren't they, you know?
We have had customers come from around the world, Norway, Alaska, Canada, where salmon are relatively common food for everybody's table fare.
Yep.
And kokanee have been top of the list for everyone that's caught and eaten all the varieties of salmon. Kokanee have always come out on top as the best eating salmon of it all.
That's what I've always heard, and I've that they're the only, to be honest with you, the only salmon I've ever caught. I've never actually been to Alaska. I fished up in northern Canada, Saskatchewan, up in those fly-in lakes, but there's no there's lake trout, but there are no kokanee up there. So I'm actually going to be spending 3 days up there in the Gunnison area. And the last day, Andy, I'm very honored to be able to fish with you. And when I get back, we'll be talking about it a lot on the radio and in my newspaper columns. I want to hook people up with a salmon run that is not Alaska. I mean, it's in, you know, one state over there up in Colorado, folks. You can go up there and fish for them. But I will be fishing a stretch of, I guess it's maybe the Gunnison, one day on some, I think it's private ranch there, whatever, but I'll be fishing there one day. And then the last day I get to fish with you on the Blue Mesa up there. And then I come home the next day. But in September, you know, say mid-September, I think, we'll be trolling probably up there on the Blue Mesa.
Yeah, so the way our season will progress here is towards the end of July, a lot of these salmon are going to just start thinking about that run coming up. They're going to kind of start to come off of feed a little bit more. They'll start getting that red color in their belly, and they'll start growing those big gnarly teeth to start making their run, and they're going to start gathering in schools out on the lake. And so the month of August, and a lot of times it'll trickle into almost the middle of September, we actually vertically jig for those salmon out on the lake in open water, where you locate these big schools on your graph, and you drop spoons down there with our shoe peg corn that we talked about last week for our scent, and we get those fish to fire on those jigs straight down under the boat, 80, 90 feet deep. So that could be one thing we might get into the tail end of that. But as these fish start to trail out of the lake and start actually doing their run up the Gunnison River, it probably takes them about 2 to 3 weeks once they leave the lake to get all the way to that hatchery. So once the early runners start late July, you're going to have a pretty solid stream of salmon run from the lake all the way to that hatchery from pretty much the first week of August all the way till first week of October. So you've got a pretty good chance of, on your trip coming down here, and being able to catch the ones out of the lake that haven't left yet, mm-hmm. and get on the river and catch the fired up brick red ones that are making their run to the hatchery.
Oh boy. Now the limit up there, Andy, for per day out of, I guess, is the limit change from the lake to the river? I guess it does.
Yeah, so to protect the run that we have here, to keep it historic and helpful for the rest of the state for eggs and stuff that are used elsewhere too, once those fish hit the river system, it's all catch and release.
Mm-hmm.
You catch them, take a picture, get them back in the water. Out on the lake, the limits are 5 per person per day.
Kokanee, right.
Yeah, kokanee.
Is there a pretty good chance of catching some of the, you know, the eater-sized lake trout that time of the year?
Yep. So mm-hmm. outside of the salmon jigging thing, once those fish have left the system and now we're kind of picking on the trout again, it's still Indian summer here, so it's still a little hot for those cold water fish to be up. So we're back to trolling our downriggers and stuff. But now instead of kind of putting an array of lures to catch all the species, we get a little bit more focused on the lake trout and the brown trout, which are our two bigger trout species in the lake. Still trolling, but very effective time of year to catch them as well.
Awesome. That's good news. Well, they are telling me that we have spent our time on this segment, Andy, but we do have time for you to connect everybody with your, you know, how do they learn more about coming up there and catching them? I know you've got an awesome website.
That's the best thing to tell you is go to my website. It's GSO Fishing, and that stands for Gunnison Sports Outfitters, GSOFishing.com. My phone number's on there. All of our trip info's on there. We got fish recipes. We sell lures. We have all kinds of stuff going on. It's a pretty neat website to just go hang out on for a while, so I appreciate it.
Awesome. Andy, thank you a lot, and be ready to be back on the air with us a lot more down here in Texas because, man, I want other people to tap into this awesome resource up there. We'll get you back soon. How about that?
I'm glad to do it whenever I can. I appreciate it, Luke.
Well, folks, that was Mr. Andy Cochran up in Gunnison, Colorado. Usually we're talking about something local, you know, Lake Texoma or Tuwakini or, you know, fishing around this area or hunting opportunities when hunting season's going on. But I was just thinking, you know, it's really good now for a lot of people to plan road trips, if you will. And then for folks like us, a road trip always encompasses fishing or this time of year fishing for something. That area around Gunnison, Colorado, folks, if you've never been there, there's so much to do and so much to see. Three Rivers Resort is a good place. I've stayed there many times for, gosh, I guess the first time I was there was 25 years ago, maybe a little bit longer. But it's located, it's cabins and RV hookups and everything. It's located right there at the junction of the East and the Taylor River. Now, that's the headwater of the Gunnison River, where the East and the Taylor come together. I bet you can, after talking or listening to Andy, you know, talk about the terrain up there, you can kind of picture that. The Roaring Judy Fish Hatchery is just, I don't know, not far, 5 minutes away from Three Rivers. It's up the East River, and then the Taylor River runs kind of right through the park there at Three Rivers Resort. So if you're going up there before, say, September, you might want to consider fishing on that Blue Mesa Reservoir. Andy's got all that contact information that he left with you. And do remember, we archive here at KETR, we archive all these shows. You can go back for many years and actually listen to these shows that we've done, gosh, years back. I've listened to some for 6 or 8 years ago that are still archived. You just go to KETR.org and, you know, local programs, and then you'll see Outdoors with Luke, and you can, you know, get right there and you can check it out, any of the past shows that we've done. Folks, we are really out of time. I wish we had about this another 15 minutes to visit with you. Do remember, you can always go to catfishradio.org and contact me through there anytime that you might have something you want to share with us here on Outdoors with Luke Clayton. Folks, today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Air Force Air Guns, Smokin' Tex Electric Smokers, Sitemark, Texas Raised Hunting Products, Pyramid Air, Striper Express up on Lake Texoma, Mill Creek Ranch Resort at Canton, United Country Texas Landmark Properties, The Best of Texas Barbecue Sauce, and Nielsen Specialty Ammo.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.